for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast for the 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in the games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, or you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, other assorted shit with our logos on it. Pregnant pause.
Have you updated the links in the description below? Does it have the aforementioned X?
Or no, it still reads as Twitter, because by God will I never refer to it as X. It will and has always been Twitter. And that is a hill that I am unreasonably going to die on. I have not updated the links below because it's Twitter. It will be Twitter. It will always be Twitter. And Max, it's kind of bullshit how quickly you caved. You caved. You bent over and was like, yes, I will call it X. That's technically what it's called, so I guess it makes sense. But, yeah.
Progressive, what can I say? Change is not as scary as it always is.
Fuck. How I am a friend.
Old man stick in the mud.
How goes it? 1 week later after the arrival of your new son, how is the world?
I can't remember if I referenced it last week where I was like, he's super chill, but it could be because he's jaundiced and lethargic.
Turns out he's
just super chill.
Oh, really? That's good.
Yeah. He gives zero fucks about anything.
Just super relaxy?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. Oh, I am going to have to come over and say hi. I need to see this little man. Reverend Puck in the chat says they had to define X as formerly Twitter for it to even be searchable on Apple, because otherwise you just get straight up porn.
One third of porn.
Just like one X is just like just one nip, just boop, and like, which is not a bad thing. If you're looking for it, it's better than nothing, right?
You know, one nip is better than none.
Yeah, 100%. Like if you're a young, just exploding at the fucking level as a 13-year-old teenage boy would be, man, a good catalog will get you going, I'm sure. So like the chance of one nip, damn. Also, hi Superbossy, how you doing? Oh shit. That's the thing you're gonna have to look forward to with you when your son grows up.
Oh, one nip.
Just one nip.
Yeah.
But yeah, how is it all? Has it been super chill, which is great?
Yeah, it's been super chill. I'm just tired. My other kid's sick again.
Mm.
Fucking. Her cough's come back with a fucking roaring vengeance.
It's like it's Storm McClaned it.
So over the last two nights, I've kind of been bunking with her, trying to keep her settled and calm. So I'm taking one child while Ellie takes the other. Then we tag team it. Ali rolled over this morning. She's like, where the fuck's Max? I'm like, I'm in bed with our daughter. It's been fine.
That's good.
I've got 1 week left off work.
Oh, well, for those who don't know, we're a little late today on the live stream because Max, in his wisdom of no work and no sleep, went, I booked dinner. It's Sunday. I didn't know. I'm like, that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, time has no meaning when I'm on holidays.
Yeah, which I agree with.
But what I have been getting to do this week, which I never get to do,
sleep,
is day game.
Oh, day game.
I day game because my kid, despite the fact that being school holidays, we're trying to keep Hadley's schedule as normal as possible. So she's still going to kinder because they offer like school holiday care. Because her kindergarten's also like a long stay daycare center.
Yep.
So we're like, cool, Hadley's still going to come. So I've been playing the fucking shit out of games during the day while Hadley's a kinder. Because like my new baby just sleeps all the time. So Ali's like, you can fucking play games. I'm like, all right, you don't have to fucking twist my arm. I'll play some fucking games.
Like I've already turned it on. You didn't know because I turned the beep off.
I still haven't. The one feature I was so excited for still hasn't been used. But I have played like 30, 40 hours of fucking Lies of P this week during the day. It's been very exciting.
Whoa, calm down. We're not at the game section yet. We got to ask how I've been this week.
You've been great. Let's go.
Yeah, I didn't really do anything exciting. Let's get into the games. All right.
You didn't go to meme college this week, did you?
No. I'm still here in town. Just in G-Town. Yeah, no, nothing major to report.
No wrestling gigs.
No. Oh no! I recorded some commentary this evening, which was cool. Now I'm going to say this because I know they're listening in the other room, and it's probably the nice thing to do. So today does mark my 1 year with my partner Phoebe.
Gay.
Yeah, gay. Ew, feelings for another human.
I thought you were going to be like. I deleted our WWE save because I fucking lost some super shit.
No deleting of saves, my friend, because I am the champion.
Weren't you in last place? How do you
Yes, I was.
Cheat codes, baby.
No, there's the story. Well, that's how we started, as I show you all my lovely little, very reflective. It says Intercontinental Champion, but that is only partially true, as this is the three-man GM mode championship. So I was in last place. Craig, the Mullet Show, was originally in first, but he was on first on a technicality. So outside of the standard metrics of your success, whether it be your number of fans and your total accumulated money, we also have Hall of Fame trophies. Now, Craig, at the time, was the only one with a Hall of Fame trophy. Therefore, he had the least amount of fans, most amount of money, impressively, but the trophy is what gave him across the line to come out on top. Last week, he put this belt on the line in our four-man team, which was a dumb decision because we weren't even playing for this belt. He lost it to Phoebe. She won the title. Then this week, I was in last place because I had less fans than Phoebe, but I didn't. Neither of us had a trophy. She got a trophy, bumped herself to number one. I got a trophy, which bumped into, you know, a middle window. Then, in the pay-per-view, I swung for the fences. Came to the top, number one, your new three-man GM champion, Big Daddy Betson. There you go. The belt is more confusing than the elder one. Yes, it is. It's only three of us. Yeah, good time. But yeah, I went from losing to winning. It felt good. This little bit of plastic, it means a bit to me because I can rub it in my friend's face. Yeah, so look, it may be my 1 year anniversary with Phoebe, which is absolutely lovely.
Sounds way better.
It's my 4 day anniversary. It's my second time around being the Intercontinental three man GM champion. And I'm yet to decide which one's better.
Well, considering how much you're talking about one and not the other, I just shouldn't have done
that. Sure. But yeah, that's what I did this week. That was one of the things I did. Other than that, yeah, real been a quiet week.
I mean, put it this way, you said it yourself. One's watching in the other room, one's in the room with you.
Yeah. But yeah, not much really happened this week. In terms of the games we've been playing, now I'm going to let you roll because I know you are busting at the seams to talk about Lies of P.
I'm going to talk about a game that I'm not playing on our console of choice.
Well, yeah, because we couldn't get a code. We won't spend money. What is this? What's this? Not D-list games media access? No, I'm totally going to buy it because you've talked us up so good. Mute says, really you the champ. Mute knows, a champ. Sorry, Lies of P. Playing on the Xbox, I assume.
Lies of P. I'm playing on the PC.
Yeah, it's kind of okay.
It runs so good.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right. So let's pay. New game from NeoWiz. It is their take on the Souls-like genre, with the catch being you are playing as Pinocchio, and
it's correctly pronounced Pinocchio's, but go ahead.
Pinocchio. Pinocchio. Anyway, however you want to pronounce. And it's one of those alternate timelines where the robots have risen up and have taken over.
In the chat, Mute's like, I thought Life of P was based on the movie Life of Pi. You know, the boy and the tiger. No, it's just someone misspelt it. I'm like, yeah, we'll go with that.
It is probably the most polished Souls-like game that's not from FromSoft.
Yeah, like, so Soulsborne games or Souls-like games, ones that aren't made by FromSoft, tend to be trash. Or Neo, like, not not nailing it. Like, there are certain parts that aren't there. Neo did a good job. Surge was poo.
My problem with Neo is it's not open world. It's mission structured, and you've got to play the missions as they come out.
Yeah.
So this is that open world. You know, you're doing your things to find the shortcuts in the maps to get you back to the boss rooms quicker.
It has that Bloodborne aesthetic, and it's like, you know, old-timey English feel.
So my best description of this, if you've played the other Soulsborns, it's a happy mixture of Bloodborne and Sekiro.
Yeah, I can see that.
So it's got like the stagger functionality that Sekiro had, but it's very fast paced and gothic in its setting, similar to that of Bloodborne. The story is pretty cool. It's told in that roundabout way that most Souls-like games are. The boss fights are epic. The moment-to-moment gameplay is great. It is difficult. So where Dark Souls, Elden Ring, and all that had your typical just weapon types,
mm-hmm.
Bloodborne introduced what they referred to as trick weapons, where each weapon had a transformation. In Lies of P, the catch is you have the blade of the weapon and the hilt of the weapon, and the hilt determines the move set of the weapon choice. So if you get, for example, just a straight sword, just like a standard longsword, but you're not happy with the move set of the longsword, you could put the longsword blade on the hilt of a dagger and you would have the dagger move set. So you can kind of change it up a little bit of how you play. So you're not stuck into a build path that you don't like. So if like you really like the weapon, but you're not quite happy with how it attacks, you can kind of shift it and change it a little bit to give you a little bit more freedom in how you want to play. There's no magic in this.
Mm-hmm.
Magic does not exist. So you're restricted to like your weaponry plus like thrown items. So it's got your standard like grenades, bombs, all that fun stuff. And essentially the story is you're trying to solve why the robots have risen up, why they've kind of doing what they're doing and destroying the city and all that fun stuff. You find out pretty quickly who's behind it all or what's behind it all and how you fit into the bigger picture. There is a I'm at the very, what I'm assuming is the very end of the game. The boss I'm currently fighting has kind of been like the right-hand man for what we know to be the big bad evil guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure I'm like right at the very end. I'm sitting at about 30 odd hours of gameplay.
Jesus.
I'm loving it. It's one of my favorite Souls. Like, obviously, Elden Ring was fantastic last year. Game of the year, deservedly so.
Incorrect, but that's cool.
Shits on it.
Well, factually correct. Subjectively incorrect.
Yeah, this is a big contender for my game of the year this year.
Oh, subjectively true.
In the year that their Final Fantasy game came out, this may take it. I'm really, really digging this game.
That makes sense. Because I played the demo when it came out early in the year post whatever conference it was. I dug in. I don't even like these games. And I was like, this game's sick. Yeah. So I'm super keen to jump on it myself at some point. But like, So all these little things that you mention is what sold me on it, right? It's like, I really loved Bloodborne. I don't know what it was. Like I said, Elden Ring didn't land with me all that well. Dark Souls, not so much. Bloodborne, I think the aesthetic of the world really helped pave it for me. And then Sekiro, I enjoyed because of its increased, like it's more fast-paced action. As someone who is dripping with ADHD, like having to slow and read, I don't fucking have time for that. My brain won't let me. But if I can move quickly, big thumbs up for me. And like, yeah, the aesthetic of Lies of P being that Pinocchio story, you know, your crickets and your lantern and there's no magic, but it's kind of like cool. And you're all like animatronic puppets rather than like a magical real boy.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. just going back to the other thing. So, similar to in Bloodborne, when you block and take damage, you can regain that health by pressing the attack. So you can regain a little bit of the health that you lost by attacking, similar to that of Bloodborne, which was, you know, it incentivizes you to that play a little bit more aggressively. Forward, yeah.
And so how many hours you put into it?
About 30-ish.
Jesus Christ. In like, how many days? Like four?
About five. It's
a pretty good run.
I mean, for the 3 days that my daughter was at kinder, I literally played it from like 9 till 2 every day.
That's solid.
Yeah.
That is really solid, eh?
Yeah. Well done. I mean, granted, I got stuck on a boss for like a good 2 hours at one point. And then for whatever reason, it clicked. I took a break, came back to it. But yeah, it's been really good. There's a vast array of like the bosses are very different. Which is great. There's like a lot of variety in the enemy types. And then it does what every other game does where the bosses become standard enemies. And you're like, oh, it took me ages to kill this motherfucker. Now you're just going to throw them at me normally? Cool. Thank you so much for that game. I love that. I've been absolutely digging it.
That's awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a game that I was digging kind of overstayed its welcome, but I still dug it. That was Sea of Stars. So I mentioned it last week. I think the week before as well. So I did kick into Sea of Stars when it did drop on PS Plus as a little freebie. So it is a sort of very inspired from your old Super Nintendo JRPGs. I forget the studio that made it. There are people whose name escapes me. Nope, no idea. Can't pull it out of my noggin. So I did roll credits on it. It is my first credits of the year of a game that released this year. Really embarrassing, I know. It took me just shy of 23 hours. And it was very much one of those circumstances where I felt like the game should have ended like 3 times. You know, it hits a point and you go, sabotage, thank you, Puck. So I kind of go, we're wrapping up. Oh, no, there's more. All right, cool. Oh, no, okay, there's more. All right, that's fine, that's cool. Is that... Oh, yeah, okay, now we're there, we're cool. Cool. And it's one of those things where, like, look,
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King,
Return of the King me, but with a lot less, like, excited hobbits on a bed, which is a real shame.
And, like, way less eagles.
Yeah, so many less eagles. If I could eagle my way to the end of this game, holy shit. So it's difficult, because I really enjoyed it, I liked it, the story was compelling. There was a twist that kind of made me think very much of Trigger Witch, which is a game that was also very inspired by your JRPG sort of aesthetic and mechanics.
Sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I have no idea either. So it kind of takes a real turn and like goes from your fantasy into your more like alternate, which is interesting for a little window of time. The bosses were kind of fun. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, once you get a grip of the combat system, I really enjoy it. But, to the credit to the game, its mechanics and gameplay is so beautifully seamless and well explained and understood. My 6-year-old son has been playing it at his house on my old PS4. And he himself has been doing a good job. Like, he's actually doing well. Like, we flicked some of the little assists on, but, like, he's nailing it and doing a really good job. So, like, shout out to the team at Sabotage for making a game that a six-year-old can play, and which is exciting because I remember this moment where my son is getting older, obviously, and he's kind of getting better at games. Like, we're at that little crusk, we're at that little that precipice, right? Where it's like he's just tipping over into being able to play bigger and better games. Like whether it be Spider-Man, like he's really now the ins and outs of Spider-Man, even down to the fancy little trick thingies you can do when you're swinging, which he's going to shit his pants when number two comes out. Whether it be, yeah, Sea of Stars, obviously Minecraft, he has down pat. But like he's just kind of picking games that are kind of out of his comfort zone and giving them a really good go. And shout out to him and his ADHD because he's all medicated now too, which is actually really allowing him to focus and to learn and to commit to something. And even when the game... Because like Immortals, Phoenix, Immortals of Avium, right? We're playing together. That game kept kicking his dick in, but he kept trying. Absolutely kept trying as Max breaks his microphone. So for me, it very much felt like this game is going way too long. It's killing me. Like, I was at this precipice where I was like, I need to finish this game because I'm really enjoying it and I don't have any credits this year outside of games that came out previously. I got to get it done. And I know if I step away from this game for a second, I'm not getting it done. So I sat to it, I pushed, I gritted, I threw on all the relics, all the assists so I could just get through it. Didn't make it easy. Made it easier. Didn't make it easy. But it was nice to be on the other side of it. I did really enjoy the game. And this is the beauty of the PlayStation Plus, is I would never have bought this game. Because I would have looked at it and gone, that's not a Betson game. But is it still a Betson game? Probably not. Did I really enjoy myself? Damn right I did. I had a great time. Absolutely great time playing the game. In the chat, Mute goes, really thought your kid was being to Fortnite or Roblox? No. So I have a very clear no Fortnite rule, mostly because A, he's too young, and because even for its rating system, and you know, it's full of the microtransactions, it's full of all those things that I really don't support. Roblox,
that people spend their money how they want.
Yep, but he spends that'll be spending my money, so he can suck a dick.
Join their class action lawsuit.
Where Roblox, he watches some Roblox content, but obviously because we play primarily on PlayStation in my house, we don't have Xbox. We don't have one. PC, I have mine. He lives with his mum, so he doesn't have access to it. Obviously, with it coming to PlayStation in October, I will do my best to try not get him involved in it, but I think he's probably gonna get in there. But yeah, Sea of Stars is dope. It's pretty cool. I really dug it. And then from then, I moved on into the Crew Motorfest. So big thank you to the team over at Ubisoft Australia for providing us a review code for the Crew Motorfest. We did get it like just before it released. And then I went into state. Max had a baby. So like, it's one of those things where like, oh shit, we'll have to get to this later. And so I booted it up yesterday. First of all, Jesus Christ, is that game absolutely beautiful. So this is... This essentially the Crew, which previously was known for like, you know, driving across America, was allegedly like a somewhat scale replica of the US where you can switch between vehicles at any given time. You can be like, I'm now a car, I'm now a boat, I'm now a plane, which is really cool. And the same principle that like Lego 2K Drive took in. This one, however, a little bit different. They've really turned into the skid, pun intended, into the world of Forza Horizon. So they've really taken a lot more colorful, arcadey sort of open world, as in it's not fully open. It's like they have a very curated area. And I dig the shit out of it for all those reasons. Max, you've been playing it too.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. It's great. It is... simmy if you want it to be, but as arcadey as you want it to be. And I sit in the happy medium. I like it to be sim enough where I can't just be like fanging it around every single corner, but I like having bumper bars on my on my bowling alley, so to speak. I like being able to rewind if I fuck up a turn. It has all those features that racing games as a whole have kind of all banded together and incorporated, and the quality of life changes that they've all kind of agreed upon as a big car racing conglomerate game. It's great. It's fantastic. Because I suck at these games, but I've always wanted to get into them. But it's either too arcadey, and therefore I never have to do anything other than hold down the fucking throttle and turn, or it's too simmy to the point where I can't do anything.
Yeah. And it's finding that tough balance, that balance is really, I find it to be really hard.
Now, granted, I haven't played all the game modes yet. I've done street racing and I've done some of the rally races.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good. I found that happy medium ground where, like, I'm winning, but I'm barely winning, and I have to try really hard to win. It's not.
So, what was the difficulty level that you chose? Because you got like a beginner, an intermediate, and an expert.
It was literally the middle one, and yeah, then I changed the accessibility options.
Nice.
So, like, I turned the race line down a little bit because I don't need it. I don't need like a gigantic GPS line on the middle of my screen. I turned that down a little bit. I think I turned off assisted steering, but I left assisted braking on, like stuff like that, just to, you know, to help an old man out.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, I did the same thing. I went down, I didn't tweak it as much as you, but I'm pretty sure there's no assisted steering or anything on the, unless it comes in the middle and I didn't pick it, or just like halfway. Mm. So, because for me, what I look for is Gran Turismo, I really had a lot of fun with. When it came out last year, or this year, fuck, last year. And however, that was a little too simmy for me. Even the down the lines of when you're trying to do the run, if you just kind of get off the track a little bit, it goes, bow, bow. I'm like, no, I don't have fucking time for that. I grew up on Need for Speed, right?
Yeah.
So I love the arcadiness of Need for Speed. Need for Speed Heat was the last one I played from that series. Dug it. Fantastic. This, I find, is that happy middle ground, where your car has weight to it, so you have to consider how you take your turns, which is fun, and like, and then you have those little considerations about, you know, what car you're picking for versus the type of the race, blah 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 blah. However, you don't have to then go in and make sure the carburetor is doing a thing with the other bit that I don't know, and then how it connects to the other part, and then you go in there and you tweak it, and you go, well, I want a little bit more grunt in the car windscreen wiper, but I want to make sure the exhaust is going loud. I don't know.
You want to make sure all your horses are running at the same capacity.
Yeah. I want to make sure that all the little horses that live inside the car engine are working. I assume that they're just in there doing their job, and that's what I like. So that's like, for that reason alone, it went down the middle. I'm having a ton of fun with it. I'll probably play more when I'm finished up here. Yeah, and like, because what I'm seeing now, you can corroborate this for me, because admittedly, I picked the rally option or this Hawaii scenic tour, because this one is set in Hawaii, so bright, colorful, awesome. It almost feels like that each of the Hawaiian islands are their own theme.
I don't know, because I started with the Japanese street racing.
Oh, okay, that doesn't help.
So I can't help you.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Oh, well then, yeah. So it's got a little bit of like that.
I was living my family dreams and fucking nossing down streets and shit, stealing VCRs.
You being your big weeb, just yeah, doing Tokyo Drift, hanging out with little Bow Wow, being clearly the worst Fast and the Furious movie.
No, I'm a family man now. I'm gonna say.
But yeah, look, I'm really digging it. It's still early days, so I have seen in some reviews, like apparently the microtransactions are brutal. I haven't really gone into it enough to see all of them. I'll have more to report on that next week. But yeah, cars look cool. Like the rate, like the reflections look immaculate. Like
car games really do look the best out of any genre of game.
Because when you only have to really make the car look good, and then like the surrounding track, it really locks it down in a way that because you don't have to render what the track is back there because you're here. And if you're playing single player or solo, you just got to focus on the part that you're in. So it really allows for that upper fidelity in those areas. Now I'm playing on performance mode, just so it runs better. But I think it still only runs at like 60, Like, you can't bump it any higher, which is fine. But for a car racing game, I think it's fine. I might bump on the quality and check out how sexual it looks, but pretty content with that. Do you have any more thoughts on the Crew Motorfest?
No, I've only put a couple of hours into it. I've literally only done the street racing stuff, and I think I did like one or two rally races.
Nice.
Yeah, it's hitting all those beats of why I love like Forza Horizon so much, and not so much Forza Motorsports. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, I happily sit in the middle of arcade and sim, and this is hitting it so far of what I played perfectly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. But if you're talking about microtransactions, you've been playing that NBA 2K24 as well?
I have, but I don't play online.
Ah, so you get to dodge all their microtransactions. That's
dodge
good.
All those microtransactions. Yeah, so...
No, we say that. It's just an assumption that it's in the game.
They're there, but they're not as egregious as they were a couple of years ago when you would turn the game on. It's like, spin the fucking wheel.
Yeah.
that wheel's gone. Wheel's been retired.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to 2K for sending us the review code and also sending us the lovely email about Max congratulating him on his baby. Because they emailed us and went, hey, where's your review stuff? And we went, I'm really sorry. He had a baby. Here's what we've done so far. Like, here's us talking about it here. And they went, that's fine. Congrats on the baby. Chat to us when you can. We'll see you at PAX. Speaking of, we'll see you at PAX. We'll talk about PAX shortly.
So I've been playing a bit more this week. My brother-in-law came over. We were playing. He's a big NBA 2K guy. So I very quickly got my ass handed to me because I still haven't quite worked out how to play the game yet. So again, I've been playing more of the single player pickup games. I've played a few of the blacktop games, which are like your smaller one-on-one, two-on-two, all that fun stuff. It plays much better than I remember it playing last year.
Mm-hmm.
It looks significantly better than it did last year. There's still a few of the the small nitty gritty mechanical things that I haven't quite worked out yet. I think I need to go back through and do all the tutorials again,
because
although at its core it is still the same basketball game, there are a few minor differences, and those minor differences are kind of throwing me off a little bit. I also have the problem of every time I play, because I tend to only play like head-to-head games when I'm playing with friends or whatnot, we have the rule of, to make it fair, we don't pick teams. There is, thankfully, in every game they put it out, randomly select my team. That way you don't have the better player picking the better team, because they know...
Yeah, they know that LA is better than whatever.
Or so we play random. So I can never... There's obviously, much like in real NBA, some players are better than others at certain things.
Yeah.
And I, not being a huge NBA guy, don't know those things. So I'm out here trying to shoot three-pointers with someone who clearly can't even throw the ball that far. But there's indicators for that, and I don't know what those indicators are yet, because your boy didn't do the tutorial, because he's like, I played this last year, I'm going to know how to fucking play this game. And I don't, because I'm an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm going to do. That's my plan this week, is play the tutorials, learn how to play the game, and then hopefully actually beat someone. I did dabble in the Mamba Moments, which is the new...
The reflective career mode.
Yeah, so it's much similar to last year's Michael Jordan Moments.
Showcase.
You get to play as Kobe Bryant, and you do his big moments of glory. Which is cool. So they kind of throw you in mid-game. They're like, hey, you know, this is where he got the come from behind victory. Now do it. And like, I'm shit, so I can't. They're like, hey, you were supposed to win this game. I'm like, yeah, sorry, man.
Yeah.
I failed you.
Alternate history. This is the Max version. This is the Max. Yes. This is the MCU, the Max Cinematic Universe. It's shitter than the other one.
It's way shitter than the other one.
Which is impressive.
But I am having a blast with this game. It's really fun. I can't comment on the my team stuff, because I just don't... The trading card aspect is not enough to suck me in, because it just seems so unreasonably expensive to do it. Because you have to buy booster packs, and then there's that whole predatory booster pack nonsense where you just get bullshit every fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of steer clear of that. I'm very much when I play my sports games, they're literally just, they're my party games with friends. I play them, we play round robins, and so far it's hitting that really well. Like I said, the gameplay's smooth. I did have to change, I had to finagle with the camera settings a bit. The default camera setting kind of sucks ass. It's very focused on if you were like a single player, so it literally shifts the whole court perspective to just you. So if you're playing a game against another player and there's a lot of turnovers, it's just doing this constantly. It's
like motion sickness.
So I think I set it to essentially like a wide side angle, and we just played from left to right instead of front to back, but with it constantly shifting, because I was getting horrendous sickness. yeah, the game's great. Once I do the tutorials, I will learn how to play the game better. I will know what all the things mean. It's like, even when you take a shot, there's like a little indicator bar of what I would imagine is there's a green section, and I feel like if I landed in the green section, I should fucking score the goal, and sometimes I just don't. And I'm
score
like,
a point.
Why
you don't get
that?
Goals in basketball, Max.
Shoot the hoop, whatever. Fuck off. I'll kick the hoop if I want to.
take it to the hole? I don't think that's what it is.
I feel like there's like a function, because my controller vibrates every time I think it wants me to hit square and steal the ball, and then every time I do, it's like, you fouled, buddy.
Yeah, I think maybe shit. The then vibration like, is don't do it now, dickhead.
Something could be. I feel that should be an indicator of like, this is your chance, my friend. Take it. But yeah, the game's great. I'm enjoying it. The character models look fantastic. The game runs smoothly. The shooting's great. The gameplay's great. I just need to learn how to play the game properly. I think I'll have a much better time with it. Yeah. See, I'm an idiot. All I like to do is fancy shit, so I'm just like throwing alley-oops to guys who clearly can't fucking dunk the ball and then catch it. So, and I'm really stubborn and I refuse to change my ways.
We're old. We're set in. Makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Stick in the mud.
That's
old dog, new tricks. But it's great fun. And again, a huge shout out to 2K for providing me a copy of the game to play, because I am having a blast with it.
Yeah. Even when you're getting your L's.
Even when I'm losing every single game.
So, another game that we did get a review code for this week, haven't played it yet, is Payday 3. So, big thank you to the team over at PlayNANZ. We will be jumping into that over this week as well, with it being a primarily multiplayer game. Max and I will try to organize some time to rob banks together. But I have always had a soft spot for Payday, especially Payday 2. I bought it on PS3, I bought it on PS4, I bought it on PC, and no one ever wanted to play with me, which I think says I'm the problem, which checks out. So I'll be playing that this week, hopefully.
Sounds good.
I did also... I jumped on a Rock Band again this week because they released...
Yeah, I saw you playing Rock Band last night. I'm like, this motherfucker never invites me over.
Well, I was only... Because it was one of those things where I was on the socials and the socials went, hey, did you know Sleep Tokens, the summoning, is in Rock Band? I was like, son of a bitch, I fucking love that song. So I bought it. I opened it just to play that song. And I was like, that was a good track. All right, turned it off. Was it?
Cool.
I do want to get back into it, though. It's been a while since I've done like a full band, and like, as much as I like love playing the guitar in the game, but you know, the drums, which are sitting over in that corner, by the way, over there, because no one else can play drums, and any of my friends. So I love being able to do that, which is fun. Yeah, good stuff. Then that's it. Anything else?
Nah, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Sick. Pardon me. Let's get into the section called Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. And in Sony news, Max wrote...
I wrote zilch, but it's a big fat lie. Because I forgot to put it in because it doesn't apply to me.
Oh.
And that's not okay. I should mention
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, so, that's not entirely how it works, Max.
Sony is currently offering new PlayStation 5 owners the chance to claim a free game. Sony PlayStation 5 console has been around for about 3 years now.
It has.
And now that they're back in stock, you can actually buy them when you want them.
Okay.
PSN account holders who are at least 18 years of age and activate a new PlayStation 5 console by October 20th this year can claim a free game. The banner with the free game offer should be visible to new PlayStation 5 gamers when they visit the PlayStation Store on their aforementioned console. At that point, they simply have to select one of the listed free games to download it. There are 12 games to choose from. New PlayStation 5 gamers can have their choice of Death Stranding.
Good choice.
Death Stranding Director's Cut.
Great choice.
Demon's Souls.
Good choice.
Ghosts of Tsushima Director's Cut.
Good choice.
Runner-up Game of the Year winner, God of War Ragnarok.
Incredible pick.
Horizon Forbidden West.
Incredible pick.
Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Incredible pick.
Marvel's Spider-Man Remastered.
Ooh, incredible pick. Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Good pick.
Returnal.
Yeah, good pick.
Smackboy.
Smackboy, okay. Yeah,
Smackboy. Oh. The Last of Us Part 1.
Ooh.
And Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection.
That's actually really good. Like, yeah, that's a really those, good...
Yeah.
It's a really good some selection of first parties.
Some of those are available in other subscription-based services on the PlayStations, so choose wisely.
Yeah, and like, don't like, Miles Morales fucking rules, but it is a staggeringly shorter experience. So if you want bang for your proverbial buck, obviously Death Stranding's a goodie. Great story game.
Uncharted gives you multiple games.
Uncharted gives you Uncharted 4 Among Thieves and Uncharted Lost Legacy, which is dope. Spider-Man Remastered gets you all the DLC. Returnal will take a long time because the game's fucking hard. Same as Demon's Souls. Ratchet and Clank is pretty cool, but like you can get it done in like no time at all. Same as Sackboy, so depending if you're getting it for your kids, that might be an advantage because Sackboy is multiplayer as well, which is nice. You can play it with your little ones.
Just Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima. Well, they're all kind of the same price at the moment. Ghost of Tsushima is pretty cool if you're a weeb. And God of War is the bestest. The Last of Us Part 1 is incredible. That game looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool. What would be your pick, Max, if you were to give that option? And you didn't have all of them. Like, admittedly, we have all these games. We're very, very lucky.
I think with... If you were to buy a console now, I think your pick's got to be one of the Spider-Mans,
yeah,
right?
You pick Spider-Man like, Remastered, because obviously Spider-Man 2 comes out in like no time at all. So even if you bought the Spider-Man 2 console, and then you're like, well, give me Spider-Man 1. Boom. Beautiful.
Be back. I'm going to fucking blow my nose.
Hot. All right, well, I'm going to get into the next bit of news that Max has collected here. It's called No Drifting. I do agree. No Tokyo Drift. Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. The worst with the Fast and the Furious franchise. Pardon me. But it's not about that. It's about Stick Drift. So, Nacon is attempting to make Stick Drift a thing of the past with its latest controller. Sorry. The Nacon Revolution 5 Pro is an upcoming controller that is compatible with PS5, PS4, and the PC, and looks to be an alternate to the DualSense Edge. The most interesting thing, though, is the tech behind the asymmetrical stick. So we're talking your Xbox placement. They, and the triggers, use a new magnetic Hall effect technology, it says here, which apparently makes for, quote, greatly increased precision and durability, end quote, eliminate stick drift, end quote. Obviously, whether that holds true or not will take time to assess, but hopefully it's an improvement at the very least. Pre-orders are now available on the website. You'll be paying €229.90 or $280 approximately Australian with an October release. So one of the advantages of the DualSense Edge, which I haven't played but Max has, it does have the replaceable thumbsticks on the front. So if you do have that stick drift experience, you can just flicker on out and chuck a new in. And like that goes to there are other controllers that have attempted to do this, whether it be the likes of the Thrustmaster, which is one that we have fucked with before. Forget what its full name was. But it's a cool concept in principle, presuming that they are making sticks. And because the problem with the Thrustmaster control that we used is that it was really cool as a concept, but then you couldn't find the fucking parts anywhere.
Yeah, so I'll preface this with I can't find a Australian listing for this. I can only find an American and a British listing.
Okay. Well, I do know who the Nacon distributor here is. I'm going to hit them up. Obviously, with the PS4, PS5, it might be worthwhile having a look. I'll see if we can hit them up so maybe we can get a review unit.
I just realized that was a typo. I'm pretty sure it was 380, not 200.
Actually, that makes sense because the euro to the AUD. Quick. Here comes Max.
It is 380.
Jesus Christ. 380.
That was my typo.
Australian dollary dues. Fuck.
To be fair, a DualSense Edge is $340 dues in Australia. That's true. It's not that much more expensive.
Look, for funsies, we'll have a chat with the team. I'm pretty sure it's turn left, the handle Nacon here. If not, it might be 5-star. We'll have a chat and be like, hey, we'd be keen to mess with this. Obviously, we have the DualSense Edge. We also have the Xbox Elite. What the fuck's it called?
That's it. You nailed it in one.
Yeah, the Elite 2. So we can kind of look around, and you've got an old SCUF controller around. So we'll do a little tester of all the range. It's been a while since we've done some tech reviews, so that would be fun. Now, obviously, I will never spend that much money on a controller because I don't have that much money to spend on a controller ever in my life. Now, Max, you have the Edge there. You did hit the Bank of Nan. The Bank of Mum to help you out, which shout out to Nanny K. But you obviously being a SCUF owner previously, you do care more about the controller, its response, etc. How does this tempt you, or does it tempt you?
No, obviously, you know, being the use case of I have two controllers already that service that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that interests me more in this than anything else, I think, is the fact that it has offset thumbsticks.
Yeah.
And I've gone on record saying offset, but then I'm a big fan of like offset thumbsticks. So much so that I've been playing Liza P with my Xbox controller all week. And when I picked up my fucking DualSense Edge, it felt like this alien technology in my hand because it was way... Because I don't have an Elite controller. There's just more fucking buttons everywhere, and it felt, for a little while, clunkier than what I was used to. Because obviously it's got a bit more weight to it than a normal controller and all that other fun stuff, so...
But, like, look, all this stick, drifty, magnetic nonsense sounds are really fun. That's cool. So I dropped my pen. Hang on. I'm back. So the thing that I need in my control, especially I'm going to be spending this amount of money on them, which I'm not going to, but I love the principle.
Tactile buttons.
Tactile buttons. I fucking love tactile buttons.
Yeah.
Ever since I used that, like the Razer Ryu Ultimate, and it was like, it's got tactile buttons. I was like, fuck yes. Any controller I ever touch ever must have tactile buttons. That clickiness, the response is the best. Every other button feels mushy as shit in comparison. Max, does this controller have tactile buttons?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, you get into the next bit of news while I find this out.
All right. You want to talk deal or no deal? it's back in the news.
Yeah. Andrew O'Keefe. What a piece of shit.
Microsoft's bid to purchase Activision Blizzard King for its enormous $69 billion is now closer than ever to finding approval from the UK's Competition and Markets Authority. Thanks to a change in the proposal whereby the rights to stream Activision games via the cloud would be entrusted entirely to Ubisoft, the CMA looks to have changed its tune. A press release on the UK government's website essentially says the revised deal addresses the CMA's main concern by putting the rights to CloudStream Activision software catalogue and the next 15 years of its games in the hands of a third party, being Ubisoft. Quote, the prior sale of the cloud gaming rights will establish Ubisoft as a key supplier of content to cloud gaming services, replicating the role that Activision would have played in the market as an independent player, the statement reads. Essentially, Ubisoft will control Activision games when it comes to cloud streaming services, ensuring impartial distribution rather than Microsoft controlling the thing itself. Quote, the CMA considers that the restructured deal makes important changes that substantially address the concerns it set out in relation to the original transaction.
No mention of tactile buttons.
However, Microsoft isn't completely in the clear yet. The CMA still had some reservations that, quote, certain provisions in the sale of Activision's cloud streaming rights to Ubisoft could be circumvented, terminated, or not enforced. In response, Microsoft has, quote, offered remedies to ensure that the terms of the sale of Activision's rights to Ubisoft are enforceable by the CMA. In what seems to be the final steps, the CMA has begun two consultations, one to test the aforementioned remedies about its last few concerns, and another to make an overall decision on whether to approve the deal as a whole. The deadline on both of these is the 6th of October, which is in 2 weeks' time. Mm.
What's your thoughts, brother?
It's happening, baby.
It's happening.
Yeah. I think, considering the fact that the UK's only hurdle was like their fear that they were going to have a monopoly on cloud gaming, which fuck all people use anyway.
Well, which is one of those things where like it is a true concern. However, we're in the situation right now where cloud isn't as impressive. And this is the thing. All right, yeah. So I'm going to talk about this here as well.
I think the big step that I'm surprised happened is that it's not only their entire current and back catalog, but it's their entire catalog for the next 15 years of all its upcoming titles. Like, that's pretty huge.
Mm.
Do I trust Ubisoft to not be dicks about this? Maybe. Like,
yeah.
Does that mean that they're just going to add all these games to Ubisoft Play or whatever the fuck Ubisoft's thing is?
Well, on a plus side, Ubisoft Play is part of PS Plus.
Yeah. Yeah, but if there's no PlayStation native title, it's not going to fucking run anyway.
True. Speaking of, and that's where my thing here is. And look, it's going to happen, but this is the thing. The entire argument that you're having right now is we have to trust that both Ubisoft, a company known to do shady fucking things, and continue to be fucking shady, even though I do like them. I like individuals that I work with and the games that I play. Cool. As a company, problem. Activision, you have to trust that they aren't shit. Not happening. They are one of the shittiest. Same goes with Microsoft. Once again, we want to talk about leaks and shit like that happened this week. Now, Max, I know you didn't put it in the news because you're like, but like, there's a thing here, right? And this is a preface that needs to come into this. During a series of leaks this week, coming out from documents like this, it was reported that there was a window of time where Microsoft were having the intention of buying Nintendo. Now, this is on the back of Microsoft attempting to buy Nintendo previously, where they were, the quote that I heard was laughed out of the room, right? And then they're trying to do that again. For me, what this signifies, and that we're looking, and when we see all these leaked documents, these emails, these conversations, and it's all about Microsoft not choosing to be better at their job, but instead buy out everyone that makes it, that creates the perception that they are doing better. Now, on that back, you know, we learn very quickly about their intent, their plans to utterly restrict the games, the studios that they buy from releasing anything on other consoles, including games that were already actively in development, like Starfield. I have no confidence that any of the companies in this exchange, Microsoft, Activision, or Ubisoft, will keep their word, will behave accordingly, because we have seen all three of these companies say one thing, something else comes out the corner of their mouth, and they lie. They are corporations. Corporations always lie. And when it comes to legal proceedings like this, where they are sworn to the truth, yet they fail to provide said truth, and that truth can only be discovered through leaked documents, then we have a greater concern. So yes, this deal may go through, and on the only advantage that Microsoft has is they do seem to have a relatively endless pockets, where the likes of the Embracer Group do not, as we see them wanting to sell everything at the moment, demonstrating that this mergers and acquisition approach is unfeasible fiscally. And even then, we found out this week that it's very likely that Game Pass is in fact also not fiscally ideal, as they can barely afford to pay for development of games when they're paying the upper line of $250 million for 3 months of Red Dead Redemption. It is ridiculous. There is not enough subscriptions in the fucking world to pay for that money. They are operating at such a heavy loss that it is ultimately damaging the value proposition of games. The games industry is the largest. Everyone has to have a race to the bottom, where not every other company has the deep pockets and can take that financial hit to operate at a loss consistently like Microsoft. And also in the chat, Reverend Puck points out, and the 75 to 80% of all Xbox next-gen consoles are the Series S. That's right, the Series X, which makes sense, because when you've got a game, when you have a games service, is what you're selling rather than consoles, people are going to pick the cheaper option, right? Yeah, look, that's where I stand. It's not a new stance. I've had this stance for a while. It hasn't changed. If you go back X amount of episodes, you'll hear the same thing. But now I just have more information to validate my stance. Not in a, hey, Ryan was right, because I'm wrong all the time. I'm probably wrong now. But there's enough information here for me to go, they aren't your friends. They never have been. This customer first presentation that what's his fuck? Pete Hines? No, that's not his name. That's the guy from Bethesda. What's the guy from Xbox whose name escapes me right now? Phil Spencer? They ain't it. I'm sorry. And yes, it's a great for you as the customer, but the ramifications, the long-term damage, is yet to be seen. But yes, it's happening. Not much we can do. I've ranted again, Max.
It's all right. I fell down the what if hole of the Nintendo PlayStation.
Oh, after yeah. Dude, how good hole?
After you brought up the Microsoft want to buy Nintendo, I'm like, didn't Sony and Nintendo work together at one point?
They did.
And Nintendo like fucking stabbed them in the back and they went, totally that's did. Philips, not Sony.
Yeah. But no, yeah, literally, there was a time before the Xbox came out where Microsoft, demonstrating their entire plan to be a monopolistic company, attempted to buy. They went to Japan and they went and met with Nintendo, and yeah, apparently they were like legitimately laughed out of the room. So Nintendo are in a staggeringly even better position than they are now. Than they were then, they are now. They're doing fucking fantastic now. So why would this even be a conversation? Right? It's bad. It's not good. Anything else?
No, you pretty much summed it up pretty well.
Boom. Pretty well. Look,
I'm legitimately fucking sick of talking about this.
Yeah. All right, let's get into your quick bits.
Been going on for what feels like forever and a day.
Yeah, very much so. Quick bits. Marvel Spider-Man 2 has gone gold ahead of its release on October 20th, which is fantastic. May contain fall damage. May contain fall damage, which is interesting. I will be sure to email them in the morning. Metal Gear Solid, the Master Collection, will be locked at 30 frames per second on both the PS4 and PS5, which is funny because that means it's running at a lesser frame rate than the PS2 version.
1080p at 30 FPS.
Well done. It's 2006. The Division 3! Was confirmed this week and is in early development, which is exciting.
It's in such early development, they're still hiring people to make it.
Well, that's why they announced it, to get people to come make do it. That makes sense. But which is interesting, because obviously I love The Division. Love The Division 2 more than anything. So I'm open. I love these kinds of games. Division Heartland, I don't know what the fuck's happened to that game. Keen to play it whenever it does happen. But knowing that there's three coming, because like Heartland is looking to be like an MMO or some nonsense, so not an MMO is exciting and cool. But yeah, Evil Dead the game will no longer be receiving any new content, and the servers will remain optional for the quote foreseeable future.
Mm.
So once again, another one is these asymmetrical multiplayer games based around some horror thing is...
Dead by Daylight just has such a fucking chokehold on that genre that IPs aren't going to save it.
Yeah, and the problem
Predator,
that we the problem
Predator
they have
failed,
is...
Predator failed, this failed. I think the Ghostbuster game is not doing great.
Yep.
Friday the 13th was hilariously funny for like a little bit, but... Like, the game was riddled with bugs and wasn't great.
Yeah. The problem with asymmetrical multis is in order to make it work, you need to have the balance. And it's near impossible to balance when you've got these, like, super fucking horror monsters. And then if you... The beauty of Dead by Daylight is it has enough characters over multiple different IPs to interest multiple people. Where if I didn't like Evil Dead, which I don't think I've seen the second one like a bajillion years ago, if you didn't like Evil Dead, well, you're not buying it. But you'll buy Dead by Daylight because you kind of like Iron Maiden when that thing's coming on. You like this, you like that, and you'll skip past all the franchises that you don't care about. Be like, I like some of them. But yeah, if you don't like Friday the 13th, I'm sorry. Done. Out of here. And the final, the biggest news this week, and Max is correct, Tekken 8 is bringing back the Tekken Ball mode. So, for those you may remember, at least for me, Tekken 3, there is a mode where it's all about, it's keep yuppies, you know? It's each player.
The volleyball of Tekken.
You've got a volleyball or a beach ball, and you've just got to keep kicking and punching that ball up. Boom, boom, boom. And whoever kicks it in the air longest or first drop it loses. It's an awesome game mode. It's fun. It's silly. It's great. Hasn't been around in a while, but it's coming back because suddenly Tekken 8 may in fact become the best fucking fighting game because of simply this mode, period.
Yeah.
You messaged me earlier, Max, just went, game of the year.
Game of the year. Speaking of games that of this year, here are the upcoming titles for next week. We have Cyberpunk 2077's Phantom Liberty coming out.
Good things.
The 2.0 update is out now. It's playable. CD Projekt Red recommend a fresh save, which makes sense. I'm thinking about reinstalling the game.
Me too.
Yep. We have Little Gator game, PS5, PS4, September 26th. Truck Driver, The American Dream, PS5, September 26th. Paper Beast Enhanced Edition, PS5, September 27th. The Crack Pet Show Happy Tree Friends Edition.
I saw this. I have no idea what this game is, but obviously someone that I grew up with Happy Tree Friends. I adore Happy Tree Friends. I was scrolling through new releases and bam, I'm like, what is this?
That's coming out September 27th. We have Everhood Eternity Edition, PS5, PS4, September 28th. Infinity Strash, Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai, PS5, PS4, September 28th. Overpass 2, PS5, September 28th. Pizza Possum, PS5, September 28th.
The Cocoon. Not well-known brother of Prime Possum, who used to tell us to go to bed about 7:30 if you lived in country Victoria.
Cocoon, PS5, PS4, September 29th. EA Sports FC24, PS5, PS4, September 29th. Fate Samurai Remnant, PS5, PS4, September 29th. And My Little Pony, A Maritime Bay Adventure, PS5, PS4, September 30th.
I think the answer, sadly, is Cyberpunk 2077. 2 years after the game came out, apparently it's good now. That's fun. EA Sports.
Non-FIFA.
Yeah, non-FIFA. FOFA. That was bad. Let's just sit in that for a little bit. Just so I learn my lesson.
Fucking terrible.
Yeah.
All right, My Little Pony it is.
Beautiful. That does bring us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening, watching, hopefully enjoying yourself. We do really appreciate it.
Sorry, I was late, everyone. Sorry.
That's fine. Look, people listen to this tomorrow, they have no fucking idea. Comes out the exact same time.
Everybody, Star Wars Jedi 3 has been confirmed.
Allegedly. Old Cal Kestis was like, I like 3.
The actor behind the Star Wars Jedi character Cal Kestis has confirmed that Star Wars Jedi 3 is in development.
Cameron Monaghan. It's too late. We've done the news part. It's time to go home.
Hugh, shut up. We're working on a third. We're in the process of doing it right now. Right now. That is the quote. Fucking right now. Apparently it's a big undertaking. There's going to be some conversations.
That is nothing. Happening. That is the most vacant sentence I've ever heard. Most happening. Vapid sentence. There will be conversations. Good. Woo! All right,
Cameron Monaghan's back, baby. I mean, he never left. I don't think
he didn't go anywhere.
But he's back.
Whoa! Hey! You know, we'll be back, us, when we return next week, because we're mental and we do this for the tens of listeners. And we don't stop. You know, we keep going. Max, send them home.
Puck's in the chat. Wasn't it fucking mentioned as a trilogy before?
I don't know. Doesn't help me right now, Puck.
Star Wars do have a thing with trilogies.
They do have a boner for trilogies. That is true.
And they're making more trilogies that are shit. So, we'll see what happens.
All right, send it home, Max.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. It happens every Monday morning. Fuck me. At 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you would like to join us in future conversations and tell us how wrong we are, come check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and whichever link you use. Twitter, if it's ours. X, if you do it properly. Although those things can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculturesrick and watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop. We buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was for the players.
I forgot to mention I was playing Baldur's Gate 3 and someone may or may not have smooshed a tentacle.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. Like, you know, it's all fun and games until you get a picture of, like, someone deep dicking, what are they called?
A lithid?
A mind flayer. Whatever the fuck they called. I don't care. The only thing he was slaying was that ass.
Good times, though.
Oh, it was graphic.